Hebrews chapter 11, I assure you that you know this passage of Scripture. It's what they generally would people would call the Hall of Faith chapter. If you could stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we are going to get right into this. I'll read out loud. You follow along to yourselves silently. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's faith, you know, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, a lot like many of the other words that I've shared with you as of late, this word faith is no exception. There are many different types of definitions that this word kind of possesses. But I'm going to read to you some of these things. And, you know, I really enjoy going through the Webster's 1828 edition of the dictionary. I'm not so sure I like the newer ones, although they do explain some of the differences in the words that we have today that can be quite helpful. But I like it mostly because in almost every word that's in there, there is a scriptural type reference or attitude connected with words. Hey, and wasn't it a great time in our country's history when the Bible was actually considered a textbook? Yeah, we need to get back to that again. We do. And a lot of times, kids would start reading books, they'd start reading the Bible. Great idea. Yeah. And you talk about wanting to work on memory, guess what they memorized? Scripture. Yeah. Hello, public school system, wake up. Come on. We're talking about something good here. So as you listen to these definitions, I want you to pay attention, because you're going to get a sense of what this thing of faith really is. Now, I've preached messages on faith before, but I don't know that I've actually preached a message concerning the definition of the word faith. Okay? And so that's what we're going to kind of get into tonight. And like I said, kind of get into. Because that clock is my enemy. I hate you, Mr. Clock. I'm the pastor. I can just take it down. Amen. I like that. It's good. My good friend, Pastor Jimmy Frazier, we had a camp meeting recently. And he tries to do a good job of planning, but he's... Jimmy's just a country bumpkin. I love you, Jimmy. He's from Palestine. Now, everybody else in their right mind says it's Palestine, but it's Palestine, Texas. That's where he's from. So he had this schedule for this camp meeting and everything, and it wasn't working out. So he said, you know what, next year I'm not going to have any schedules or any times. He said, no actual times. He said, the thing is just going to say
breakfast. And then the next one they say, after breakfast, activity. After activity, preaching. After preaching, lunch. You know, so just, you know, he's going to forget the time frames and just say after this. So we'll go home after preaching tonight. Okay? Whenever that is. We don't need clocks. Or wrist clocks either. Belief. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another. Okay? So, honestly, just in that simple beginning, that's what we are. Right? As Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptists, right? That we just believe God. We believe another on the truth. Where? This is what we are. This is the authority that we believe in. And that we attain to, that we've had the assent of the mind to what is declared by another. That's why we often say, God said it, and that settles it. Done. I don't need a bunch of scholars to tell me what about it. I don't need a bunch of groups of people over the years to say, well, yeah, we're pretty confident that it is. No, it's just God's book and it's God's word and that's what I'm going to live by. You know what that is? Faith. It's faith. Oh, listen, I could go on and talk to you about different evidences and different things about the King James Bible and why I believe it's the word of God. Hey, look, I took a whole bunch of classes on that stuff. I got a whole bunch of textbooks that helped me line that out, item by item and line by line. But I don't need that. Because you know what? Even with all those evidences, even with all those things, and I had to come to the place in my mind that I said, hey, I believe that, and it's what somebody else said was true, and that's what I believe. That's faith. Resting. Oh, I love this. Oh, see, I told you this introduction could have a whole set time of its own. Resting on his authority and veracity without any other evidence. That's amazing right there. Just let that sink in for a second. It's belief based on the declaration of another taken as truth. That you in your mind have come to the place where you said, this is this thing that I've heard, this thing that I maybe read or whatever, or this whatever a thing is that's declared by another is the truth, and I'm going to rest on its authority and veracity without any other evidence. That's mind-boggling right there. How many of you knew that the word faith was to that extent? Nobody. It's deep. I know Brother Losey did. You just didn't raise your hand. Now, I don't need any evidence, and I can rest on its authority. You know what? I don't lose one microsecond's sleep as to whether or not this is the word of God. As to whether or not salvation is real. As to whether or not something like eternal security exists. I don't lose one second of sleep over it. And I don't care what you tell me. Because I have been brought to the place in my mind that I have accepted God's declaration. And I'm resting on His authority and His veracity without any other evidence needed. You know what that is? That's faith. That's faith. And it doesn't upset me at all. That's why the Bible can say things like, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what that is? Resting in God's promises. Resting in God's authority, resting in His Word, resting in His truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me.
okay. I don't have to question that. I don't need any other evidence. It's done. That's faith. The judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. So, we take God at His word, is really what this says. Okay? In theology, Webster goes on to say, the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Oh, you know, I love that. I love that this man takes the time to give the literal sense of the word faith, its belief, resting in the authority and the judgment of what another has stated or testified as the truth. But then he takes it into God's court and says simply this, that whatever God has said is truth, and whatever God has revealed to us as truth, that I have come into the understanding. Remember, I told you, the word understanding simply means coming to see it the other person's way. Now, when we come to this place and take God at His word, and don't miss this, Webster says that it's to what God has revealed. You know, there are some things that God has not revealed to us. Are you okay with that? There's a bunch of people out there trying to search out those things that God hasn't revealed. Why are you doing that? I can promise you there's enough to digest of what God has revealed. You don't need to waste your time doing that. You don't. God will reveal Himself to us. He has revealed Himself to us. And we've just got to accept that. Simple belief of the Scriptures, of the being and perfections of God, and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ, founded on the testimony of the sacred writers, is called historical or speculative faith. So whose authority are we trusting? God's authority, that He was able to choose and to preserve His word. He gave it to us. He revealed to us the character, the doctrines, the existence. Hey, we might as well just said everything we have to know about God and what He's given to us and revealed to us in Scripture. We believe it by faith. You know, a lot of times I get a chance to talk to people about why I believe the King James Bible is God's word. And again, folks, there are lots of evidences. Just like the Apostle Paul, we've concluded here in the book of Acts, he gave many testimonies and many evidences of that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But ultimately, what does it boil down to? Faith. Somewhere, somehow, you are going to accept some authority's word on something. And everything in your life. So these people that are atheists, to me, that's one of the dumbest things that you could say you are. Sorry, all you atheists out there. Because you're trying to say that you don't accept anybody's authority. But that's not true. You're accepting someone's authority. You didn't come to this conclusion on your own. So you do have faith in something else. You understand that everybody has faith. We all have faith. And we all exercise that faith to different degrees for different things. You please understand that that's the truth. So why not God? And why not His word? And why not the things of God? And why not God's authority? And why not resting in His authority and veracity without any other evidence needed? Because guess what? A lot of these people have come to these things and you ask them why, or you try to pin them down on it, and they can't tell you. It's interesting. Here's another one I thought was interesting. In the evangelical sense, justifying or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's
testimony. Now, folks, this is an imprint for people to read. This is an imprint for lost people to read. I can use the Webster's Dictionary to lead someone to Christ. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? Accompanied with the cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart. An entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations. And in the character and doctrines of Christ. With an unreserved surrender of the will to His guidance and dependence on His merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ for salvation. That's in Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 edition. So, with that in mind, as we've gone over 3 minutes of time, I know I'm probably the only one concerned about that, but I do care about your time. Let me just scratch the surface here and begin with this first one, and we'll recap next week. But believing faith. Believing faith. In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes and says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Remember, the very first word of the definition of faith was belief. You got to believe something. Everybody believes something. Over and over Scripture, we see that people believed God. In our text that we read, the author of Hebrews writes this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," that's faith, "the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For he had, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." If you go back, and I would encourage you to look at the history of mankind, you know that Enoch wasn't the first guy around. Adam was, and he believed God, right? Eve was, and she believed God. Abel was, and he believed God. Cain was, didn't believe God. Then you could take that line of people and subsequently go down the list. You know what? From there to Enoch, see how many people believe God. Why Enoch all of a sudden? Why Noah all of a sudden? Why is that? Well, who else did other people have faith in? That's a whole other story we can look into. I just want to tell you that this thing of believing faith, you got to believe something. Because here's the thing. You're going to believe yourself. You're going to believe God. You're going to believe the devil. You're going to believe this world. You're going to believe something. I'm trying to tell you today that we might as well just believe God. Paul was able to confidently stand up and say, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." You understand, when Moses is talking to this burning bush, in order to, for him to accomplish what he's going to accomplish,
He had to believe God. This guy Job, that had all this wealth and had all these wonderful things, in a matter of a day, if you will, lost everything, he still said, I believe God. No matter that all these things have happened to me, blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Paul says that this righteousness is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. We must believe. We must believe God. We must believe God's word. In verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Did you notice that? In order to have faith, we must believe him. In order to please God, we have to believe him. Folks, let me ask you a question. Is someone going to be happy with you if you don't believe them? Why would they be pleased with you if you don't believe them? If you don't have faith in them, why would they be pleased with that? God's supposed to be pleased with us if we don't believe him? No. Look what it says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is where we get this idea of believing faith. Because the Bible says we must believe. We must. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God if you don't believe God. That's why there are a lot of quote-unquote Christians out there and a lot of quote-unquote churches out there that are out of favor with God. The number one thing that's going to get you out of favor with God, you say, oh, that's easy, Pastor, sin. Yes. Sin, but I think it's belief. Let me try this one on you, and then we'll. Why do we sin? You see, it's because it's our nature. We're prone to sin. Yes, that's true. But try this on for size. I think the number one reason why we sin is because we really don't believe God. See, what do you mean? Well, if we really believed God, that God is just, God is righteous, God is holy, God is a righteous judge, God has put out punishments for sin, right? Would you really tell that lie if you believed God would punish you? Would you really do that thing if you believed God would take your life? See what I'm getting at? We sin because we don't really believe God. O ye of little faith. Where's your faith? It's just a thought. See, the devil made me do it. No. No, the devil didn't make anybody do anything. You see, where does this get buried? I'm going to give you some homework, okay? Since I can't preach any longer tonight. Remember what the devil said? Yea, hath God said? What did the devil do? He made Eve doubt God. He shook her faith. Why did she take of the tree? Because the devil got her not to believe God. What did God say would happen? Surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. God, it's just a little white lie. God's not going to punish you. Well, you see,
co-worker so-and-so, they got away with adultery. You can too. God's not going to punish you. You're a good Christian. Am I getting your mind thinking? You say, that really has to do with faith? Yes. Does that really have to do with believing God? Yes. Folks, we need to be someone who pleases God. How do we please God? By faith. By believing that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Take a look at that verse a little bit more this week. It has to do with faith. It has to do with believing faith. There are many more. My Bible is shut. That means I'm just going to pray because we're late. But I think I've given you something to think about. This thing of faith is not, as it seems, a simple matter. It is extremely complex.